I do welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow, and I welcome you to this program and ask that you would get a Bible and a piece of paper and pencil. I want those items so you can write down the passages that I refer to as we go through our Bible study so that you can go back and re-examine the passages that we've talked about during our Bible study today. Kingdom Ministries was developed as a vehicle to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ about God's kingdom that's going to come. Jesus is the king of that kingdom, and the kingdom is real. It's future, and it will take place simply because the Bible says so. God wrote the Bible through individuals who were inspired by God. They wrote down God's message, and that message has been preserved for you and me to be able to study and to examine for ourselves. And I believe it's important that every individual read and study his Bible. The Bible tells us that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, to be workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's important from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 that we study and that we be prepared always to be able to give an answer for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I know a lot of you who are listening are professing Christians, and you may read your Bible periodically, and you may even attend church on a regular basis. There may be, you may be able to just name the church that you are affiliated with, but my big question to you, you're a member of that church, but do you attend it regularly? And if not, you need to become a regular attender, because I believe it's important that you study and you attend and fellowship with God's people, particularly in the day in which we're living today. Because I believe the timetable of God's plan for mankind is nearing an end, and Jesus is going to be coming again. We've been talking the last couple weeks about Jesus Christ, the fact that he is God's son, he is the representative for God, he is doing God's bidding, he is God's judge, and I want to talk a little bit today about the predicament that man finds himself. First passage I want you to write down is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. That's the passage that deals with creation. God is just, as you read this entire chapter, God has created the heavens and the earth, and he created the earth in 6 days. He created the earth, and verse 31 says that God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was good. It was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And I want to move on into the second chapter, because I believe that as you read on, you're going to gather a better context of the message that God is passing on here. Thus the heavens and the earth were complete, and all their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had made. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. In chapter 1 of Genesis, we have the creation of man and the heavens and the earth and the birds and the fish of the sea, and all of creation is recorded in chapter 1. Now, as you move into chapter 2, chapter 2 of Genesis is like taking chapter 1 and putting it under a microscope and looking specifically at day 6. You put day 6 under a microscope and have it grow and look at it in a larger form. Chapter 2 magnifies day 6, and you have the creation of man in greater detail. In the creation of man, God created man and put him in a garden. He created man perfect. When God created the heaven and the earth, part of the creation was man. He was created perfect, and God's creation was good and very good. So then we have to ask ourselves, how did we get to the point where man sinned in the garden? God created everything perfect. And what we have then in the second chapter is God magnifying in his word, day six, and creating man, creating the woman as a helpmate for him, and they're both perfect, and they're not ashamed. He puts him in the Garden of Eden, and he puts him in the garden to tend it, to take care of it. When we get to chapter 3, we find that one of God's creations fell from God's grace, and that was Satan. And Satan tempted Eve, and Eve ended up submitting to the temptation that was presented to her. I would like to have you look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis, the third chapter, and it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed has God said to you not to eat from any tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it or touch it, or you'll die.'" Now, you need to go back into chapter 2 and realize that when God put man in the garden, he gave him the responsibility of tending to the garden, working the garden, taking care of the garden. But he also said that there's one particular tree that you should not eat. In chapter 2 and verse 17, it said, "The Lord said, 'From the tree of knowledge and of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" God put man in the garden, and he gave him the responsibility of taking care of the garden, but he also told him, there's a tree in the middle of the garden. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I don't want you to eat of that tree. If you do, you will die. Those were God's words, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. God said, "You will die if you eat of that fruit." That is forbidden fruit, Adam. That's forbidden fruit, Eve. Don't eat of that fruit. Satan, as we get into chapter 3 then, questions Eve about the statement that God made. Satan deceived Eve by trying to nullify God's punishment. If you look at chapter 3 again of Genesis, the serpent said in chapter 3 and verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." What Satan's temptation was, is first of all, you won't really die, Eve. Don't believe what God said. You won't die. But if you do eat that tree, eat the fruit of that tree, what's going to happen is you're going to be like God. And Eve fell into the trap that Satan had placed before her. She fell into the trap. She took the fruit that was not to be eaten, and she ate of the fruit, and then she turned and she handed it and gave it to Adam, and Adam ate the fruit also. Adam knowingly ate that fruit, knowing that there was a punishment. But Eve had been deceived, and she had eaten the fruit. And together, they disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit. Because Satan said, one, you won't die. And two, if you do eat the fruit, God knows your eyes are going to be open. You're going to become like God. That was an enhanced idea that tantalized Adam and Eve. But it was a lie. Satan lied. He told Eve, you won't die. God had said, you will die. Now we've got a problem. The Bible says God told Adam and Eve not to eat the forbidden fruit or you'll die. Satan says, you won't really die. What are you believing today? Are you believing God when He says, you will die if you disobey? Or are you believing Satan's lie? Satan's lie was, no, you won't really die. To not die means to continue living. I propose to you that a lot of people today don't believe that they're going to die at the end of life, but they go on living. And I challenge you to look at this passage. God said you would die. And I hope that you would take a close examination of Genesis 2 and 3 and realize that we need to believe God at His word. He said the man and the woman would die if they disobeyed, but God has provided an alternative to the problem. But so many people are still believing Satan's lie. We need to believe God. God said the woman would die. Look what happened. The woman died. The man died. God was right. And we have to realize we've got to believe God. We can't continue to be duped by Satan and his deceptiveness. We need to believe God. God has provided good news. Satan does not want you to live. Satan wants you to die. And you will die because of disobedience. I want you to become a good student of God's word. We're going to pick this subject up here on the predicament of man next week and look at another facet of the deception that Satan provided. And I hope that you'll tune in again for another opportunity to hear the voice of tomorrow.